All right, welcome everybody. On a Tuesday, Trash Talker Tony Brasky is underway with yours truly. It's great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me today, I've got Talasawa with me. All the other guys are doing other things today, so they will not be joining us. But that's all right, though, because we do have Tyler, like I said. So, Tyler, thank you for joining me. How are you today? And how has the beginning of the week been for you after what was a, honestly, pretty huge sports weekend here in the Motor City? I mean, the Red Wings are one of the hottest teams in the league. They've won five in a row. Michigan football, Big Ten champs. We'll talk about them later in the program. Michigan State, they're going to a New Year's Six Bowl. And then, obviously, our biggest topic today, the Lions won. Like, it was a big weekend here, sports-wise.
Oh, beautiful weekend. Michigan obviously started the weekend off great. Saturday, win the Big Ten championship. I expected them to win the game, obviously. But the way...
Iowa is not... The mighty team that everyone is saying they are, but he still took care of business.
Yeah, no, just the way they got it done and just to finally actually see with my own two eyes and experience it, which, you know, I've told you this before, I'm not as big of a college fan as I am a professional sports fan, so yeah. I don't get like that same, you know, joyness, but like it was still an unreal feeling, an awesome feeling to actually experience one of my teams winning. And it was just awesome to see on Saturday. And then on Sunday, the Lions just pulled the most unpredictable thing you could ever think and win a football game. And the last play of the football game, they throw a game-winning touchdown, and it's coming from the hands of Jared Goff, and just unbelievable. And yeah, I know we'll talk about the Lions in a little bit, but yeah, no, an unbelievable weekend. Then you mentioned the Red Wings. I didn't watch the game Saturday, but I saw Mo Sider hit a game-winning, game-winning shot in overtime.
It was a missile, Tyler.
I saw. I didn't watch it live, but I saw. And you can't really ask for much more. You can't ask for much more outside of MLB being stupid and now unofficially.
We're going to spend a later show talking about this, but, you know, really quickly regarding the MLB lockout, it's been a lot worse than I personally thought it was going to be. You know, I probably should have known this going into it, but for some reason, it didn't click for me that the players and the coaches, like, they can't talk to each other right now. I never realized that going into this, but I saw someone on Twitter talking about it over the weekend. I'm like, oh, yeah, they can't talk to each other right now. That's not good at all. And, you know, also, I didn't realize we're technically not allowed to... I mean, we could talk about, like, everything going on. Like, in a later show, we can't talk about the Tigers signing Javi Baez, and we will in a later episode. But I didn't realize we technically weren't allowed to post clips and pictures of active players. Like, this has been a lot worse than I expected. We all knew the lockout was going to suck, but it's been worse.
Well, you can pose. You just gotta blur out the faces with the gray face.
You gotta be careful though. That is true. That is true. You can post the
gray generic photo.
the face with no face. Yeah, let's call it that.
That's when it really hit me, is when I went on the MLB at Bat app and I was just like looking up like rosters and like clips, there was nothing. And like you look at the rosters, it's just blank faces.
I seriously didn't realize that was going to be a thing.
I didn't know it was going to be that significant either.
Yeah, like the first real day of the lockout, because it happened at midnight. That's when it became official on December 2nd. But that morning of December 2nd, I saw people talking about it, and I was in shock. I didn't realize that was going to be a thing. Like, yeah. You're actually technically not supposed to post active player pictures or clips. That's bizarre to me.
I know, it is insane right now. We could, our shout out to Scott Bentley. He's been posting a former Tiger daily. The guys are not currently in the MLB, so it's good memories if you want to keep up with what he's doing. I'm entertained every time I look at his tweets, his former Tiger tweets.
Do you want to give me a random Tiger off the top of your head before we get into the football talk today?
Oh, first one that came to my head, Wilson Bedame, former third baseman for the Tigers.
can I interest you in some Adam Everett?
Adam Everett.
Danny Worth?
This is something me and Tony do every day. Like, we go to a Tigers game, we're in the car, we're just naming random Tigers.
Hey, where is Mikey Matuk at?
The Nighthawk?
Oh, the Nighthawk. But no, I mean, again, this lockout, we knew it was going to be bad, especially for two baseball guys like us, but yeah. And I don't know if we're going to have an end in sight relatively soon either. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully it just doesn't affect the season. We still got a lot of time till that
comes
into play, but yeah, no, I mean, other than baseball screwing over my week, it was a great weekend to sum it up.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it was a pretty massive sports weekend here in the Motor City. And I'm going to make a quick Wings mention here, too, before we get the show started. Like I said, 5 straight wins, the boys are rolling, and me and Mike are going on Tuesday
night.
You're
listening.
Yeah, we're going tonight by the time this comes out. We're recording on Monday night, releasing on Tuesday. Me and Mike are going tonight against Nashville. So yeah, going for 6 straight tonight. I'm a little worried about this game because we're starting to get a little thin at defense. Gustav Lindstrom's not going to play, or he's not expected to play. And Mark Stahl is also in COVID protocol right now. So that's it's not ideal. But we're going for 6 straight tonight. Let's go. The boys are buzzing. And again, it was a pretty fun sports weekend here in Detroit. So Tyler, thank you again for joining me. Let's get into the program today. So obviously it's going to be all football talk this week. We'll talk about Michigan winning the Big Ten title to close out the show. But Tyler, you know we got to begin with the Lions. You know we got to begin with the Lions. They actually won a football game. I sitting here today on Monday night, it still really hasn't registered for me that we won a football game. And like, maybe we're going too crazy. We did not just win the Super Bowl, but at the same time, for this team to win a football game, one football game, it's still a pretty big deal, because I honestly didn't think they were going to win one this year. Honestly, I didn't think they were going to win a game this year, Tyler. You know,
it got to a point, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I always had Thanksgiving circled against the Bears, and I mentioned this on the pod before. Like, I always had Thanksgiving circled against the Bears. I, for a while, was thinking that was going to be the one. That was going to be their first win. And maybe it should have been, but it wasn't. And after that Thanksgiving game, I sat back and thought to myself, they actually might go winless on the season, and that's not going to be fun. I did not want to see this team not win a football game. Even though it is just one win, this is still a massive win for the locker room, for Dan Campbell, and just for the entire fan base in general. And the way they won that football game too, Tyler. Oh, and the way Jared Goff was able to drive down the field with that offense, march down the field, and on the final play of the game, throw in the end zone. I don't know what Minnesota is doing defensively, but that's neither here nor there. But for Jared Goff to find Amon-Ra St. Brown in the end zone, his first career NFL touchdown at the buzzer, game over Lions win, and to see the crowd erupt at Ford Field, to see Jared Goff run to the sideline and go find Dan Campbell, and to see Dan's reaction too, just to see everyone's reaction inside the stadium and on Twitter too, it was absolutely magical. It's one win, and it's not a Super Bowl win, okay? But for this team to actually get it done, because they've been so close this season, and they honestly probably should have at least one win already. I mean, it wasn't for Justin Tucker hitting a 2,000-yard field goal when we played Baltimore, and if it wasn't for some not great football against Pittsburgh, like, maybe
God bless Ryan Santoso.
Oh, like, maybe we should have a win by this point. But for us to actually finally get over the hump and get that first win, it was great. And I'll mention this too before I throw it off to you, Tyler. I wanted to see a win so badly for the locker room celebration. It was everything I wanted it to be. Dan, it looked like he was getting a little emotional. They gave him the football. Oh, you saw Brad Holmes in the locker room. Sheila was in there. The place was going nuts. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Oh, it was great. Like I said, I did not want to see this team go winless, even though that would have given us the number one pick. Like, that would have absolutely solidified the number one pick. I still don't think having a winless season would have exactly been great for the locker room. Like, I just don't think that would have been good for anybody. So to finally see the team get over the hump and get that win, especially with the way they did it, and especially with it being at home against a division rival, and you played spoiler for them too. I mean, that is a massive loss for Minnesota's playoff hopes. For the way you won that game, for it being at home against a division rival, that being your first win, I loved it. That, as I tweet on Sunday, that's going to be huge for the locker room, for Dan, for Brad, Sheila, the players, the fan base. It's huge, and I absolutely loved it. Sunday was a beautiful day. Victory Monday was awesome. I tweeted on Monday. I forgot what Victory Monday feels like. Oh, it was great. It was absolutely great. And something else I want to mention, too, with the win, with the unfortunate events that happened at Oxford High School last week, it was also good to see the Lions get that win for Oxford. And I liked what Jared Goff said after the game, too. You obviously never hope for something tragic like that to happen, but you hope to be the reason to kind of cheer people up after something like that, you know? And I like that from Jared Goff. So, yeah, that was a massive win for the Lions, and it was good to see that team finally get it done and get a win. So with that, Tyler, I'll bring you in on here. Just talk to me about the Lions' first win of the season.
Yeah, just very quickly, I want to, you know, piggyback off, you know, what you mentioned with the Oxford thing and the tragic events that happened at the high school and the tragic people that lost their lives during it. But, you know, I thought the Lions just did a very good job as an organization of honoring the school and the students that lost their lives. Just respect to the whole organization for everything that they did on Sunday. And I'm going to also give a shout out to Michigan too, what they did on Saturday. I thought they also did a great job honoring just everything that happened in that tragic event that should have never happened.
But yeah, you know, not to cut you off here, but I will mention this too regarding Michigan. They had the 42 patch on their jerseys, I believe. They scored 42 points. How crazy is that? Yeah. That's insane. No,
that's like some crazy God work or whatever you believe in. I mean, that's just it's unbelievable. Yeah, no. I think that's what Jim Harbaugh said. I think that's like just like God's work, like God was with us or something like that. But, you know, as far as the Lions winning the actual football game on Sunday, you know, I thought this was something that just needed to happen at some point during the year. Like, the Lions have had opportunity to win football games, playing some bad football teams, playing some depleted football teams, and they just weren't getting the job done. And I think as a fan base, it kind of gave me some optimism of the coaching staff. Like, you know, not that anyone should have ever been completely out on the coaching staff, but I thought it was fair to have some criticism and have some questions on the coaching staff, and to see them kind of respond to that and actually come out with the win and kind of flip the script, it was very promising. It's like, okay, I could see the plan now. I could see some type of a future now with what you're trying to accomplish, where especially those last three games when you played the Bears, the Browns, and the Steelers, it's like, man, what are we doing here? It's like, this doesn't even look like an NFL team right now as far as the coaching staff. Like, the players, I know the personnel is obviously not great, and that's why people didn't expect very many wins coming into the year, but it really did seem like some of those last three games, especially, that we were losing more because of the coaching staff rather than players not executing a game plan. And I'm going to give, you know, credit to Dan Campbell this game specifically for actually finally trusting the offense, because there was too many times since he's taken over the playbook, and there's still a lot of things to correct as far as play calling for Dan Campbell. And I don't think this is a rule that he's going to stick to, you know, in the future, but as of right now, at least, it was just trusting the players, especially when you're 0-10 and 1 at the time. It just didn't really make much sense to me why you weren't really trusting players to, you know, your quarterback, whoever it was at the time, if it was Boyle or Goff, to just pass downfield and try to get some type of passing game and just try to win a football game, even if it doesn't work. So just them trying new things on Sunday and not being so predictable and, you know, just being a little more gutsy and taking advantage of matchups that you could potentially have. I'm going to give them credit to Dan Campbell because that's just something they weren't doing the last 3 weeks. So it was a lot more entertaining from a fan perspective, just watching on TV, and just it gave themselves a better chance to win on a Sunday. So, and that's ultimately what ended up happening, even though, you know, it almost costed us because there were some times in that game where it's, you know, it looked like we lost the game. And
that's a good way to put it.
It literally came to the last play of the game where the Lions won the game. So I'm going to give credit to the coaching staff. Aaron Glenn, overall, just this year has been phenomenal with the defensive staff.
Fantastic hire by Dan Campbell.
Yeah, everything he's done with that defensive staff, just what he's getting out of the players and, you know, the game plan that he's bringing every Sunday. Like, you have the personnel that it's probably not going to work every Sunday because you can't do everything that you want to do just because you are a little set back with the players you have. Not that that's a shock to these guys, but it's just the truth. But, you know, for what he's been given, you know, I think he's done a really, really good job. And the defense has been in some really tough situations this year, just as far as the offense not sustaining drives and, you know, not, you know, putting their defense in bad positions. If that bad field position, if that's just not enough rest to, you know, to come back on the field where the other team is just killing you on time of possession. So, you know, everything Aaron Glenn has been doing, and then to kind of shut down, not shut down, but do a good job versus a good Minnesota Vikings offense, even without Adam Thielen and without Dalvin Cook, still a pretty good offense. And for what they did, you know, just an impressive game overall by the Lions. And like I said, something that they just really needed and a fan base really needed. And you mentioned it, everybody within this organization just needed a win really badly because at the time of this recording, the day of, last year was the last win the Lions had won before yesterday, which is just insane.
You know, again, if they went winless on the season, though, that guarantees you the number one pick, and that would be great for, you know, the fans being like, hey, we got the number one pick, let's go. Inside the locker room and inside the organization, like, though they would probably be like, hey, we got the number one pick at least, they still wouldn't look back and be happy at not winning a football game.
Winless season is just not progressive in any way. Like, I know the number one pick is great, but, like, you need to have some type of culture where you have to know what winning feels like. And a lot of these guys don't know what winning feels like. And
they're young. And it's a young team.
And I know what people are going to say. This isn't winning. This isn't a winning game. You know, winning is winning playoff games, winning Super Bowls. I mean, just getting over the hump of winning a football game. They now know what that at least feels like. And they now want to feel that more. And they, you know, it's just something that they needed because a lot of the guys, like you said, are young. This is their first year in the NFL, and they have actually never experienced a win in the NFL. So, and then Dan Campbell, obviously, being a first-time head coach, not interim-wise, they needed this. They just needed this really badly, and now they now they got over that little hump. This is something you could build off now going forward.
Jared Goff, too. He never won a game without Sean McVay. He's finally got one without Sean McVay. I'm actually happy for Jared about that. That's pretty neat.
There's a lot of things that was the first. That was the first time the Lions have won without Matthew Stafford, and God knows when. I can't tell you the last time the Lions have won a football game.
Yeah.
When was that even? Like,
That's way before even I started watching.
Like, yeah, but it's obviously before we started watching. I can't even tell you the last time the Lions won a football game without Matthew Stafford starting at quarterback.
Yeah, because my first season watching the Lions was 2008. Great year to get into them. But, yeah, it's been a while since they won without Matthew. But, no, again, like, if they went winless on the season, that just wouldn't have been good for the people actually inside the building and the people within the organization. But now that they got that one win, like you said, they know what it's like to win in the NFL. And for the people saying like, oh, it's just one win, who cares? It's not like you won the Super Bowl. Dan even said it after the game during the locker room celebration. Like, it's hard to win in the NFL. It's really, really hard. And to finally see this young rebuilding team, like we said, get over the hump and finally get a win, and especially with it being at home against a division rival, and you had to drive down the field, late in the fourth quarter to get that win and get the game-winning touchdown. I absolutely loved it. It was so good to finally see that team win a football game. I had tears in my eyes in the post-game video.
Saw.
You know how hard it has been to be a Lions fan this season? It's been so brutal, man. So to finally see that team win, I was like, jeez. You actually would have thought we just won the Super Bowl. I'm getting a little teary-eyed over here. Oh, my goodness. I even brought up the megaphone.
I was like making fun of Cleveland fans, you know, a couple of years ago when they won that one Thursday night game. It was like, they were in kind of a similar slump like that.
They beat the Jets. And they cracked
the beer case, like a Bud Light or something like that. They said free Bud Light for everybody.
Hey, yeah. No.
And I was like laughing at them, but I'm like, now I know what
now
they're
you know.
Like.
Now you know what it's like. Yeah, this season has been tough for the fans, and I would imagine even more for the people actually within the organization and playing and coaching these games. So
yeah, this season, and then just add all the Matt Patricia years. Yeah, no, it's been rough.
You know, I was thinking about that today. Like, even when we won football games under Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, especially towards the end, like maybe outside of the Falcons game in which Stafford had that comeback drive, even those games, I wasn't thrilled after wins.
No, I mean, the expectation was so much different because they were here. They were brought here to get us over the hump of being a 9-7 football team with Dan Campbell. His expectation is just get us over the hump of Pat Patricia right now.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're not asking much. You just ask for a confident head coaching staff, I guess, in general. So, no, but like when they beat Jacksonville last year, the Lions, like, you know, you didn't have that pure joy, even though they whooped them. It's just like, okay.
No, like, again, outside of the Falcons game, especially towards the end when we had Patricia and Quinn here, even when we won games, it was like, all right, but I still don't think that's really going to lead to anything, but okay, cool.
Like, remember when we beat Washington, Predators game-winning field goal?
I was mad. I was mad after that win. I was mad. But, yeah, like, again, it's been so long since I've actually been happy after a Lions win. And I was happy after that win. I'm still happy today. Even if this is their only win of the season, which I would probably prefer for it to be because I want Aiden Hutchinson or Kevon Thibodeau, even if that was their only win of the season, I'm happy. As I have tweeted throughout this entire season, and as I have said on this pod several times throughout the season, I just want one. Just give me one. And I thought it was going to come against Baltimore. It didn't. I thought it was going to come against in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Didn't happen. Yeah, didn't happen. We probably should have swapped the Vikings this year, but that's neither here or there. I thought it was
Matt Patricia never beat.
Did he even win a division game? Maybe one?
He beat the Packers, yeah. That was the game Mason Crosby missed. Like,
he did beat the Packers. He did beat the Packers. Remember the Prater touchdown with McAfee on the
call. They killed him like 31
something. Yeah, Patricia did win. Patricia did win a game against the division, but other than that, he struggled. Well, he struggled. Period. But he especially struggled against the division. But anywho, getting back to my train of thought here, I thought their first win was going to be against Baltimore. It didn't come. I thought it was going to be against Minnesota in Minnesota. It didn't come. For some reason, I thought going into the Cincinnati and Philadelphia games, that was going to be the first win. Didn't come for either of those. I was feeling like Pittsburgh might be the one. Probably should have been, but it wasn't. I thought Thanksgiving was going to be the one. Again, probably should have, but it wasn't. They finally got the one. And you know what? It was a game, too, in which I didn't think they were going to win. As I said to start the show and to start the segment, after the Thanksgiving loss to the Bears, I thought we're for sure not going to win a game, and that's going to suck. But they did it. They got it done, and I'm happy.
Wow, you know, this, sorry to, is completely off topic, but Patricia never beat the Bears. My goodness.
No, that's why Bear fans love me.
My goodness, I knew that, but like I didn't even... That I never acknowledged it.
I had to think of if he even won a divisional game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously never beat the Vikings, never beat the Bears, and you beat the Packers, I think, twice. Should have beat him three times, but that's neither here or there. But
well, those were not fun times as a Lions fan. But right now, even though they're 1-10-1, that was fun. That was a fun win. And this is actually a good transition to the next thing I wanted to bring up with the Lions. Even though they're 1-10-1, and you kind of brought this up too, like, I'm feeling good about the direction of the team right now. You know, starting with Brad Holmes, a lot of the young guys and his draft picks that he brought in here, they're balling out right now, man. Specifically with his draft picks. Penei Sewell, I saw a tweet today. Penei Sewell is ranked by Pro Football Focus as, I think, the second highest tackle in the league. Not since rookie class. Yeah, since week six.
Yep.
In the league, not amongst rookies, the league. And that's after making the switch from left tackle to right tackle.
You know who he's behind?
Who is he behind?
Eight-time Pro Bowler Tron Williams, who's having an unbelievable year in San Francisco. He's behind him.
Yeah, Penei Sewell's pretty good, huh? Penei Sewell's pretty good. Penei is balling out. Levi Onwuzurike and Aleem McNeil, they both have made plays over the season. Ifeanyi Melifonwu, before he got hurt, he was really balling out and stepping up. Obviously, Amon-Ra St. Brown, first career touchdown catch. It was the game-winning catch, and overall, he had a big game against Minnesota. 10 catches for 86 yards. That really felt like his coming-out game, if you will.
I agree.
Derek Barnes, he has been making plays left and right this season. And
Jamar Jefferson, too.
Yeah. Like, all of these draft picks from Brad Holmes from last year's draft, they're stepping up, and they're playing really well. And another young guy that I want to bring up here. You know, for this Lions rebuild to eventually be successful, they got to find guys like Jerry Jacobs. Tyler, absolutely. Jerry Jacobs has been awesome. And like I said, for this rebuild to be successful, you got to find guys like him. And to see a guy like Jerry Jacobs making a name for himself on this team right now, it's beautiful to see. I like Jerry Jacobs, man. I think we might have something with him. He's a nice player. I like him a lot. So, absolutely. Brad Holmes, despite the fact we're 1-10-1, we're seeing a lot of the young guys and his draft picks specifically playing well this season. And for Dan Campbell, like, this might be an unpopular opinion because I know half the fan base hates him, but I'm still a Dan Campbell believer, man. You know, nationally on Monday and on Sunday too, I saw a lot of people nationally being like, I'm a believer in Dan Campbell for the Lions. You know, nationally, there's a lot of people who like what Dan Campbell is doing right now. Because even though they only have one win this season, this team, for a good majority of the season, like, there have been some stinkers here and there, sure, but for a good majority of the season, you're seeing this team fighting for Dan Campbell. And that means something, man, because you look at a team like Jacksonville or Houston, who in their games this weekend, Jacksonville was in LA to play the Rams, and Houston, I believe, was hosting Indy. They both looked like not good. they looked a little lifeless, honestly, in their games. You see that, and then you see the Lions still fighting for Dan Campbell. Even though going into that game, they did not have a win. That means something, man. That absolutely means something. And now that they got that win under their belt, that's really going to help out the locker room, man. It really, really is. So, yeah, I'm feeling good about the direction of this team right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, Brad Holmes, you mentioned it. Like, draft picks, the top picks are obviously very important that you have to nail those. And I think with Penei Sewell, I think...
Especially Penei Sewell.
Yeah, I think Penei Sewell's already kind of shown that he's that guy already.
He's looking like a star, man.
Yeah, and then, like, Levi Onwuzurike and Aleem McNeil, I mean, those guys, I think, will... You know, they're making the right steps. I think they have brighter days ahead of them as far as, you know, their careers. I think they'll be better than what they are right now. And, you know, they're rookies, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, no, the UDFA class, I mean, just to find two guys, I know it's not a great football team talent-wise, but to get two starters, I know one of them's hurt right now as well, the guy I'm about to mention, A.J. Parker and Jerry Jacobs. I mean, you got two starters for majority of the year from the UDFA class, which, again, not a great roster, so you're going to have some plug-ins. But I think you found something in some of these guys where, like, maybe they're not necessarily starters, but they're going to be guys that can contribute to your football team and that you have trust in them if you ever need them to start. I think Jerry Jacobs can make a legitimate argument to be a starter next year. I really do.
I do, too. Again, I really like Jerry Jacobs, and he has been balling out this season, which has been good because our corners have just gotten way too many injuries. Like, yeah. Jeff Okuda obviously got hurt. If he got hurt, A.J. Parker. Like, we've had some major injuries in the secondary, and especially at corner. So to see a guy like Jerry Jacobs step up, huge. And speaking of corners stepping up with all the injuries, A.O., Amani, he's been good this season, too.
Nothing gives me more hope, too, when corners are balling out or, doing a good job, I'll say, at least, when you don't have an elite pass rush or even a good pass rush, because I still think this pass rush is still far away from being good right now. I still think they're very below average. I know we've had some moments of Charles Harris. I know he had a good game versus the Vikings, but he's just been, inconsistent, hasn't been consistent. And then when they lost Romeo Okwara, especially once they lost Romeo Okwara, is when the pass rush just kind of disappeared almost. So when corners are balling, when, they're on an assignment a lot longer than supposed to be because the pass rush is not getting combed, that's when I'm like, okay, you're a baller, you're a beast. And you're seeing that right now with Jerry Jacobs and Amani Awori. And it's not like a Matt Patricia defense where these guys are one-on-one on islands all day. So it's a little easier, obviously, because you got a safety on top if you do get beat. But it just shows that these corners are doing a good job with their assignments, even without a pass rush. And you mentioned it, if we have the number one pick, the two guys that you just mentioned are pass rushers.
Pass rushers, and really good pass rushers, too.
And if you get Romeo Okwara back and you have him locked on a 3-year deal, and if he could be the guy that he was before injury, you could be looking at potentially a good pass rush. And if these corners are doing good right now with the pass rush they have now, it could make you optimistic going forward. It's like, okay, let's put Thibodeau and Romeo Okwara and see what they can do with Aleem McNeil and Levi Onwuzurike up the middle and Michael Brockers. Like that could be exciting.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. They finally,
a lot of ways to go, but yes.
Oh, obviously. I mean, we have to remember they still are 110-1.
Yeah, there's still a lot of questions to be answered.
Yes, we're not saying they're saved.
No,
and
not at all.
They're going to make a run at the Super Bowl next year. That's not what we're
absolutely
saying.
Absolutely not.
But I think after seeing that win and seeing Brad Holmes' draft picks playing well, and seeing other young guys stepping up, and seeing the team being so happy for Dan Campbell, and seeing how they're still fighting for him, even though going into that game early December and they were winless, to see all that, it's positive steps. I think it is positive steps for this Lions rebuild, and that's what we wanted to see this year. It's not so much about the wins and losses; it's about young guys making names for themselves, playing well, seeing the team still fighting and believing in Dan Campbell, and just seeing this team make progress in their rebuild. And so far, especially after that win, I think we're finally seeing that happen, which is good. That's absolutely good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And now it's like, this is the exciting part we're getting into. It's like, we have two first-round picks coming up. All those compensatory picks coming in this year. And, then the cap starts to free up. And, this is the start of a rebuild, obviously. So there's still a lot of ways to go. But this is where it starts to get a little more exciting, I would say. Because you're going through the worst of it right now when they click the complete reset button.
This is the 2019 Tigers, Tyler.
This is the 2019 Tigers, absolutely. Absolutely, it's the 2019 Tigers. This is like when they click the reset, and you're still trying to figure out all your pieces that you have right now.
Yeah, and with regards to the two first-round picks in this upcoming draft that you mentioned, even after that win on Sunday, the first of two, that's still at number one right now.
Yeah.
So, hey, like I said earlier, I wouldn't mind if this is our only win of the season because Aiden Hutchinson, Kevon Thibodeau. Ooh, could you imagine adding either one of those to our defense?
I'm not too disappointed for the number two pick either.
No, because you're still guaranteed one of them.
You're guaranteed one of them. Like, I don't look at either one as a consolation prize.
No. I mean, I can already tell you what my mindset is going to be going into the draft if we have the first or the second pick. Give me either one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'll obviously probably prefer one over the other, but give me one of them and I do not care. They are both studs. They are both really good. Hutch, maybe the best player in the country right now. I don't think he's going to win Heisman. I think that's
Hutch
probably
for Heisman.
He's a candidate for sure, but I think that's eventually
Bryce Young.
It's going to go to Bryce Young. Let's be honest here. But Hutch, still, even though he's not going to win the Heisman, probably, you could still make an argument he might be the best player in the country. And Kevon Thibodeau, like, that's still someone who the draft experts have been talking about for months.
his traits are insane, dude.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. When if he does a combine. It's going to blow the roof off.
Yeah, give me either one of them. I'm going to be happy. But with that, though, I think that's a good way to wrap up the Lions talk. Good win, Lions. It was good to finally see them get that first win of the season. I'm still
Tony,
very
could
happy.
I get you to could I get you to sink forward down the field right now?
You cannot. You cannot. If you want to, you can go ahead.
I don't even know every word of the song.
No. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Yeah. There we go.
Go Lions.
Let's move into our final topic today, which is obviously going to be the Big Ten champs, Michigan. Tyler, I don't know what you are. Like, you always tell me you're not. Well, you lean Michigan over Michigan State, but you've told me before you're actually not, like, 100% a Michigan fan.
Yeah, I'm not.
Seeing
I'm
your
not
tweets this
fan.
Weekend, though, I don't know.
I'm not a Michigan like diehard. I'm just not a college football fan diehard. That's why, like, I'm college sports in general. I'm not a diehard in college sports. If Michigan State was doing this right now, I can't say I would be as excited as I was. It's just because I grew up as a Michigan fan, so it's like it just everything kind of kicks in. But if Michigan State was doing this, I would be so happy right now, too, especially if it was Mel Tucker.
Well, I know you're a Mel Tucker guy, so. But,
yeah, so if Mel Tucker won the Big Ten championship, I would be very excited. Would I be this excited? No, but I mean, would I enjoy watching it? Absolutely.
So you're kind of a Michigan guy, so I'm going to let you start off this segment. Michigan Big Ten champs, they got it done. How are you feeling right now?
Oh,
you're in the playoff too. We shouldn't forget to mention that. Duh.
Yeah,
you
are ready for
Georgia. Big Ten champs, and you're the number two seed in the country, and you're in the playoff. How are you feeling right now?
Oh, feeling absolutely great. But if you told me before Saturday that we would be lined up with Georgia, I wouldn't believe you. But we're here to play Georgia. We're ready for the dogs on New Year's Eve. But no, just winning the Big Ten championship. No, it was something I expected after beating Ohio State. But actually, like I said, watching it live and experiencing and not having any fumble or, you know, second thoughts. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. We killed Iowa. We didn't even make it a close game. And that was encouraging. I wanted them just to come in this game and, you know, stomp on Iowa. Show that you are the superior team over Iowa and show that you deserve to be the Big Ten champion after beating Ohio State. And just having the successful college football season you had in general, you know, don't let it all go to waste in Indy versus Iowa. And that's absolutely what they did on Saturday. And they took care of Iowa. They won the football game. And they're heading off to the playoffs, number two team in the country. You asked me this question last week after the Ohio State game. If they beat Iowa, is this a successful season? And I said it would be. And I still stand by that right now, that this is a successful season. Regardless of whatever happens in the college football playoffs, you know, we're ready for the college football playoffs, but whatever regardless happens, this was a successful year for Michigan, Jim Harbaugh. Yeah, especially for Jim Harbaugh, man, just for everything that he has gone through the last 7 years of Michigan fans, the outside noise, and especially this year coming into the year where people were just, you know, criticizing very low on him, including me, and it was deservedly so, obviously, just because he hasn't been able to get the job done in big games, and there's a reason why people were low on him. But for Jim Harbaugh to come to the season with this team, win a Big Ten championship, beat Ohio State this year, go 10-1, it's good for Jim. You know, this is something that this is the reason why Michigan hired him. It was to win these big games, and That's exactly what he did this year. He's leading us to the college football playoffs. And I told you this last episode, I think this is what really kind of establishes the culture going forward. And that's why I brought the opinion and saying, I think Michigan football is back. I think this was the season that brings them back. And I think this is the culture going forward that, you know, people are going to be, you know, more committed to Michigan. I think Michigan's more of a likelier spot for recruits now. I just think it's a great culture that they're building. I mentioned the big-time hires he made this offseason, bringing Mike McDonald from Baltimore. Just was a huge hire on the defensive side of the ball. And, yeah, I it was a great season for Michigan. And, you know, I'm excited to now watch them on New Year's Eve when they play Georgia. So it was a great season, great game on Saturday as they took care of Iowa.
Regardless of what happens in the playoff, and this is coming from a Michigan State fan, obviously not a Michigan fan at all, regardless of what happens in the playoff, it's absolutely a successful season for you. Like, come on. I mean, you beat Ohio State, you won the Big Ten title, and you're in the college football playoff. It is absolutely a successful season for you. And I tweeted this on Saturday night after you win. Like, it took a while, sure. Absolutely. But Jim Harbaugh is doing what he was brought to Michigan to do. Beat Ohio State, win the Big Ten, get to the playoff. Like, that is what he was brought to Michigan to do, and he's doing it this season. Sure, it took him a while, but he's doing it now. And, you know, whether you're a Michigan fan or not, whether you're a Jim Harbaugh person or not, you got to give credit when it's due. And it's absolutely deserved right now for Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. Because, like I said,
I never thought I would see the day.
No. I was thinking about this, too, during that game. And I want you to think about it right now as I tell it to you. Tyler, October 30th, earlier this year, in East Lansing, when Michigan State beat Michigan. Oh, but it was because of the officials. Yeah, okay, whatever. You still blew a large double-digit second-half lead. When Michigan lost to Michigan State in East Lansing, did you ever, ever imagine that this would still be possible after that?
No, absolutely not. I didn't think this was possible after that Halloween, or the day before Halloween game. No, that was the game I looked at before the season. They need this win, especially the way things were, you know, forming out, where both teams were undefeated. I thought that was a game Michigan absolutely needed if they wanted any chance at being in the Big Ten championship game. And even after losing that game, and I said that the last episode, I thought that was the game where they kind of just really woke up, and that's the team that they actually were after Michigan State. Like, that's the team they should have been all year, because even before that Michigan State game, there was questions, obviously, with McNamara. Could he pass the ball? There was a lot of criticism going forward. And then when they lost to Michigan State, obviously a lot of criticism. But I think after that Michigan State game, that's when they really responded really well to players, and they really just bought into everything, you know, Coach Harbaugh was selling them. And that's when they flipped the whole narrative, and they flipped the script around from what was supposed to happen. Because the script was Ohio State goes to the Big Ten championship, and they're the team in the playoffs right now. But they flipped the script.
Yeah, like I said, I was thinking about that during the Big Ten championship on Saturday night. I was thinking to myself, like, jeez, there's probably no Michigan fan out there that thought this was possible after October 30th. No way.
Nope.
No. The fact that you lost to Michigan State, and again, the officials, no, you blew a double-digit second-half lead. Let's come on now. After losing that game, and to still beat Ohio State, go to the playoff, win the Big Ten title, oh, jeez. Yeah, you gotta tip the cap to Jim Harbaugh, his staff, and his players. I wanna ask you this about Mike McDonald really quickly, because I've already seen a little bit of buzz on Twitter. How long do you think you're going to have him?
Ooh, it's a good question.
The NFL might come calling.
it's a good question. I mean, that was John Harbaugh's, you know, highly thought of coach. It was a linebackers coach in Baltimore for him. And, you know, he gave a call to his brother, Jim, and said, I got a very good coach for you. If you want to try him, like, it would suck to lose him, obviously. But, like, I have, like, this very good coach if you would like to, you know, interview him and see what you got in him. And, obviously, Jim Harbaugh made the final call and, you know, approved it. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I don't know how long we get Mike McDonald for. I mean, if he keeps doing what he's doing right now at Michigan, yeah, NFL jobs will call, obviously. But I think for McDonald to take a job and to leave Michigan, I think it would have to be something worth it. I think it would have to be a defensive coordinator job. I don't think a position coach wouldn't get the job done in the NFL because he's already done that. I think it would have to be a big boy job as far as like an NFL DC. But I think you would also have to view how Michigan is going. If Michigan's on this pathway where they just are looking very good going forward and, you know, they can win another Big Ten championship, maybe he just wants to stick around. Just kind of like some guys are just meant for college football rather than the NFL. You get more stability if you're winning and, you know. So it's, I think it's just depending on where Michigan is and, I guess financially, what teams would be offering him as well, if it's worth it, and the gig he would be taking if I think the only gig he would take is if the guy he's obviously comfortable with is going to be in the NFL for a while, at least 2 to 3 years, where it's not like some guy who's on the hot seat like a Matt Patricia last year, for example.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to leave. That's not at all what I'm saying. If anything, I'm saying like he's done such a good job in his first season with Michigan that. I think it might have been Albert Breer in one of his pieces who wrote like, "Hey, maybe watch out for him in the NFL circles." You know, maybe, but
anywho. I could see that, man. I could see that in a couple
with the
years,
job
for
that
sure.
He's done. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. But no, like I said, you got to give credit though. Whether you're a Michigan fan or not, whether you're a Jim Harbaugh person or not, you got to give credit when it's due, and it's absolutely due right now for Jim Harbaugh, his staff, and his Michigan team. So, a few more things that I want to mention here before we get out of here. First of all, Eli has spoken. I do have a little audio clip to play from Eli about the Michigan game.
I haven't heard this.
Yeah, so you ready for this? Even though he's not with us right now, I do have an audio clip of Eli Bashy's thoughts on that Michigan win.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't watch the game. I didn't care to watch the game. I don't care about Michigan's football program. Great. They finally won something. I'm happy for all the fans that suffered. I just chose to stop suffering. You know? And now my connection to them is gone. They won. I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel happiness. I didn't feel sadness. Just I lost my passion for college football because of the past couple years of Michigan football. I'm glad they're going to the playoff. I think Georgia's going to absolutely destroy them. I hope Michigan proves me wrong. If Michigan proves me wrong, they might win me back. But they'll probably get spanked by Georgia. And then I'll come on these airwaves and I'll laugh at them and their fans.
So that's Eli Bashy, ladies and gentlemen.
As he's blasting Sunday Night Football, I hear Al Michaels in the background.
I probably should have got Grant's audio message, too, and maybe Jay, because they're actually Michigan fans.
I think we've been a lot more optimistic than that.
any thoughts on Eli's message there?
I mean, even if we lose the game, he's still going to laugh at us? Like, come on. Now, is that deserving even after the successful season?
I would say no. It's still a successful season.
I mean, we're playing Georgia. Georgia's not, I mean, they're the best team in the country.
The Dogs. That's still a really talented defense. Like, Alabama, that's just what Alabama does, man. That's just what they do. That's why I took Alabama +6.5 on Saturday. I looked at that line. I'm like, are you serious? There is no way. Even if Alabama loses this game, Georgia's not blowing them out. Like, I did not see that happening.
I wish you bet your big money last week when we went to the Red Wings game instead of the. I wish the roles were flipped.
Yeah, thanks, Ohio State. But no, like, Georgia's still really, really good, and they've got maybe 10 NFL players on that defense, first, second-round picks.
they had a Heisman guy for a minute, too, Big Baby Davis, Jordan Davis.
Yeah, a linebacker, right?
I think he's an edge rusher.
Well, he's a defensive player. Yeah, you don't typically hear defensive players getting Heisman praise, even though Hutch is getting Heisman praise, but you usually typically never see that, you know? Georgia's
game.
Georgia's really good, and the spread, I think, is Georgia minus 7.5. I'm not looking at it right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
I would have put it at 7. So, yeah, I think that's fair. But the point I'm making here, though, is that it's still a successful season. Like, even if Georgia wins by 8 and covers, like, it's still a successful season for you, without question. To win the Big Ten, beat Ohio State, and get to the playoff, Jim Harbaugh is finally doing what he was brought to Michigan to do.
Yep.
It seems like, as you have said, the Michigan football program might be back to the elite status in college football.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a successful season, regardless of what happens.
Whatever happens after is... I just don't factor into what happened in this season, because it was just a successful season regardless of whatever happens next.
Now, to close out the show today, let's quickly talk about our early thoughts on what could happen in the playoff. Michigan, Georgia, how are you feeling right now about that game, even though we've got a couple weeks before that?
Yeah, we got about a month, a little less than a month.
31st.
Till that game actually takes place. I would say Michigan is the underdog in this game. Obviously, you mentioned the spread already. I do think Georgia is the better...
I can double check the spread.
Yeah, I mean, I do think Georgia is the better football team overall. But it wouldn't completely shock me if Michigan does pull an upset.
7.5.
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't completely shock me if Michigan does pull an upset, just because it's been that type of season for them. Their offense has been a lot better, especially the last couple of weeks. And they've been a lot more creative in trusting their quarterback a lot more. So it's going to be interesting, because watching Georgia's offense throughout the season, even when they were 12-0, I mean, it's obviously, you know, a great football team, but I think they do have some flaws in offense, and Michigan's defense has been very, very good all season. It's going to be an interesting match, because I think it's going to be whose offense could be better in that game, because I think we know about both teams' defenses. Both teams' defenses are very, very good in Michigan and in Georgia. I think it's just going to come down who's going to play a more efficient game at quarterback. Is it going to be Stenson Bennett, or is it going to be Cade McNamara? And whose running game is going to be, you know, better in that game? Who's going to be more established? It's just going to see who's going to have the better offensive game plan coming in, and who could be the better team's defense. And I think that's what it's going to ultimately come towards at the end of the game.
Yeah, you match up well with Georgia because you both have elite defenses with NFL talent. And like you said, it's going to come down to ultimately who can make the bigger plays on offense.
And Michigan's been getting a lot creative, like especially the last two
Where
games.
Has this Josh Gattis been?
I don't know.
he pulled some random stuff out for these two games against Ohio State and Iowa. Where has that been? I never saw some of that stuff.
No, exactly.
Like Edwards touchdown pass in the Big Ten title game? I'm like, where are they?
I didn't know he had an arm like that. Where did that arm come from?
Yeah, where did that come from?
That arm was, I mean, that throw was perfect by Donovan Edwards. Yeah. My goodness.
People were saying that's a better throw that Jared Goff has ever made. And Jared Goff responded with some nice dots in that win on Sunday. But hey.
No, but I've been impressed with Josh Gattis, especially the last 2 weeks. And to mention, he's from Alabama. So he kind of has some familiarity with Georgia's scheme and what they kind of want to do on defense. And I think that could give him an upper advantage in potentially scheming for Georgia for that game. So, I don't know. I mean, if I had to predict a little less than a month from that game, I'd probably take Georgia to win the game.
Yeah.
But I think this Michigan team isn't like previous Michigan teams where they fold and they bend like previous teams. I think they're going to give Georgia a fight regardless of the game.
Yeah, I think that narrative of, Michigan's going to fold – because that's just what they do under Jim Harbaugh. I think that narrative is done.
It's gone.
Because, like we've said already, they're doing everything that Jim Harbaugh was brought here to do and what he hasn't been able to do in the first however many years it's been. Like, he finally beat Ohio State. He finally got to Indy and won the Big Ten and got to the playoff. The narrative that he can't win big games, it's gone. He's won massive games over these last few weeks. Yeah, I think that whole narrative of Michigan's just going to fold and they can't show up in the big games, that's gone. I would be stunned if Michigan laid an egg in this game against Georgia. I think I agree with you right now. A few weeks out, I would probably take Georgia, and I would probably take the spread too, but I don't know. I feel like right now it's going to be a good game though, for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm excited, man. I think, you know, the college football playoffs, it was a great college football season in general.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of parity as far as the season, and just even Championship Saturday, there was a lot of parity, like Oklahoma State losing to Baylor, and obviously Georgia losing to Alabama.
Pitt winning the ACC.
Yeah, I mean, Alabama was on one leg of maybe not even making the playoffs, and they come, you know, in Georgia.
Cincy
as well. Had a phenomenal year. But it's going to be interesting to see how they match up a team like Alabama in the playoffs and see how that actually ends up going.
Well,
and see if they're actually legit or not.
But, I mean, with all due respect to Cincinnati, the spread is 13.5 right now. Vegas is telling you Alabama's probably going to, no pun intended, roll into the national title game, which is what I think that's what I would predict, and a lot of other people would probably predict too. But hey, you know, it's been a crazy year in college football, like you said. It's a year of parity. We've got, I mean, Alabama's Alabama, but we've got two new teams in the playoff with Michigan and Cincy, and then we've got Georgia back in the playoff for only, I think, the second time.
Man, we were so close to having no Alabama in the playoffs too. We were so close. We're one game.
Well, you know what? I would honestly rather have Alabama than Notre Dame with a new coach.
You would from an entertainment standpoint.
I would from an entertainment standpoint.
Yes.
Yeah.
But from a fan perspective, you know, you want whatever.
Well, obviously, Michigan would probably be the favorite to win the whole thing. Well, actually, no.
It would be us. It would probably be Georgia.
It would have been Georgia because they would be in Alabama. Okay, yeah, you so have had the second highest odds.
Yeah, we would have played Cincinnati first round. In the semifinals, I should say.
Oh, you still would have been the two? Yeah, you would have played Cincy. They would have been the three seed.
Yeah, ND would have been four, and then Georgia stays at one if Alabama loses.
Yeah. But
from an entertainment standpoint, though, I can understand that is a pitiful watch if Notre Dame made the playoffs with a new coach.
I'm not hating on their new coach, but to make the playoffs,
that's just not fair.
Your debut game is in the playoff. Like, huh?
That's just not fair.
Come on. Yeah, I from an entertainment standpoint, from someone who's not a fan of either of these four teams, I would prefer to see Alabama in, but that's just me.
Yeah, I would agree. If this was like Ohio State or let me take that away. If this was like a team that I didn't really care about that much, I would want Alabama in just because they're an entertaining football team.
Yeah. But anyway, though, to wrap up the show, I'm going to mention what we mentioned in last week's program, talking about successful seasons for Michigan and Michigan State, too. For Michigan, like we talked about, whatever happens in the playoff, it's absolutely been a successful season. Jim Harbaugh is doing what he was brought to Michigan to do. Beat Ohio State, won the Big Ten in convincing fashion in that game, and made the college football playoff. You can have an argument. We don't have enough time to have that argument of maybe should have been a one seed, but it's neither here or there. He still made the playoffs, still won the Big Ten, still beat Ohio State. Absolutely a successful season for Michigan, regardless of what happens in the playoff. And as for Michigan State, too, because you know I got to bring them in here. 10-win season, New Year's Six Bowl, in year two under Mel Tucker in the first full season, too. Pitt is on the clock. That's going to be a fun game. December 30th, go green.
I'm excited to see MSU just from a draft standpoint, too. Kenny Pickett, you know, he's one of the quarterback prospects from Pittsburgh. So
yeah. It's
going to be intriguing to see what he could do versus the MSU defense.
There's a few NFL players that are going to be in that game. Kenneth Walker, too.
K-9 Walker. Yeah.
Probably our K-9. Probably our last game with him, unfortunately. But
yeah, K-9 Walker, yeah. Kenny Pickett. You know, I saw a Michigan State guy in that Lions-Vikings game, Kenny Wilkes. He was on that defensive line.
I saw that, too. I didn't realize he was – I mean, I know – I obviously know Minnesota drafted him, but I didn't know he was playing for them. Good for Kenny. Yeah, I love Kenny.
Yeah, Kenny Wilkes. I liked him. I liked him coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, good for him. But
yeah, go Blue.
there you go. But anyway, again, to wrap up the show today, Michigan, from this Michigan State fan, hey – congratulations. At least it wasn't Ohio State or Penn State.
Who's got it better than us?
Okay, I'm out of here.
Nobody.
Okay, we're leaving. Tyler, thanks for joining me today. It was only us two, but it was a good program today talking some Lions football and some Michigan football. So thank you for stopping by. Thank you all for listening. For my entire crew, who I hope to have back next week. My name's Tony Dabrowski. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you all next time.